Georgia, what?
You know,
Georgia
in every what? Scene, every scene that Michelle Yeoh has in this episode, she starts talking and then she walks past you as she's talking to another point across the room. Very dramatic. Every scene.
That's her thing. That's her, she's the non-stationary tiger.
Are you insane?
They are insane!
In the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
But Red Frosting.
It does like you.
How you doing, Mike?
That man is bereft of passion and imagination.
Mr. Kim.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
Let the lesson begin.
You're carving us up like a roast.
And we are the non-stationary podcasters.
Oh, God. Did you do it to me again? You just...
Yes. Cloaked. We are cloaked. We are cloaked, Kim.
I can see you. Mike-ish.
Kalish. Oh, my gosh. Hello, everyone. Hello. My name is Mike McCafferty. And I'm with...
Yes. Kim Miller.
Kim Miller, otherwise known as...
The Doctor.
She's known as the Doctor.
Why do you speak like that?
And we do a little podcast called I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. But we don't just want to talk about Jason Nicaris because he is not here tonight. He's a fool.
He's with his elementary school friends at a pizza party.
He's literally at a pizza party right now. He said, I can't. I'm at a pizza party. Are you going to a pizza party? A.K.A. Heaven. Or Vortavor or Shakari, just in case you didn't know, all those places are Pizza Heaven. If you're in Star Trek V and you're like, Vortavor, Shakari, Pizza Heaven. That is the undiscovered pizza. That is what it is.
Shakey's Re.
Shakey's Re. Shakey's Re. Dominoes.
I'm the domino of dominoes.
Well, if you can tell, we do a podcast here about Star Trek. Sometimes we talk about Star Trek. Most of the time we talk about pizzas and not eating them. Although I did have Pizza Rev today, and I love Pizza Rev.
Oh.
Which I believe stands for Pizza Revolution, which reminds us of Star Trek Discovery with their spinning hull section, saucer section. And we talk about Discovery. In fact, it seems like we've been talking about Discovery for like 55 years now. It feels like all we do is talk about this show called Discovery. I don't know what to make of it anymore.
Crazy. What was it, a month long break in the middle?
Yeah, so it's really been about 3 months. Now, first of all, check us out on our Facebook page. I just want to talk about Star Trek. Check us out like at our Twitter, at Mike McCafferty, and...
The Dip.
Yeah, try to figure that out with the large pop. If you go to our Facebook page, you'll actually see us podcasting. You'll see my hideous visage and the beautiful and alluring Kim Miller, the Doctor.
Yes.
To balance it. My Tellarite like look.
My female Tellarite look.
Your voice isn't pitched down enough. Like what are they doing? The Andorians are like, everybody put down your phasers. Like, oh gosh, it's like Ted Levine or something all of a sudden, you know.
It's slightly like electronic distortion kind of thing.
It is. It's like Ted Levine's from Silence of the Lambs, you know, he's like, put on the lotion.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, like he has like the most unnaturally deep voice. Like even in like Monk, he's like, "Hey, Monk, you gotta solve this crime." Like, oh gosh, you're such a slight man.
Is she a great big old fat person? Yes, she's a big girl.
2018, not appropriate anymore. Sorry. She a woman who's comfortable in her body.
Serial killer?
Yes. yes, she is. Yes. And I disapprove. All right. So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit here about Discovery episode 14 titled, Kim.
War Without, the War Within.
The War Without, the War Within. AKA, we need to pick up all our toys from all the previous episodes and put them all away because we've scattered so many plot lines without any sort of consideration of them. We need to pause and take a breath. What did you think about this one, Kim?
I enjoyed it up until the very end when it became ridiculous, but up until that point, it was kind of fun. I enjoyed
it. We'll be doing a nine-part
episode.
The
destroyed Starbase.
Oh, yeah, which they called Space Dock 1 instead of Starbase 1.
What? I thought it was Starbase 1.
I think they call it Space Dock. I think they call it Space Dock.
I will Saru click at that notion.
Yeah, he's making more and more clicks, isn't he? He's clicking it up there, right? Because his threat ganglia only works in very, very specific, non-important times. Remember when he could sense death? He's like in the like. Here's the thing. I derided Saru so much in the roll up to this. Now, if you've never listened to this podcast before, turn away. Don't listen to it anymore. No, listen to it. But know that we are very, very skeptical about Star Trek Discovery. I was listening to Trek Geeks today. I was listening to the opposition, the adversary. They're not part of Trek FM. I know. It's just like they're just a couple of yahoos who are just like, hello, everyone. Welcome to Trek Geeks.
Unlike us,
who are dynamic and fun and funny.
Licensed Star Trek fans.
Licensed. We are licensed and accredited and board certified to tell you erroneous things about Star Trek. We are prepared to do that.
But I was, what did they say?
Well, like they're all on board. They're like, oh, we have another podcast now called Discovery Trek or something like that. Like they love Discovery. They love it. Everyone loves it. Everyone's drinking this Kool-Aid here. And I'm not. I can't drink this Kool-Aid. I try. I want to like the show. I like the acting. I like the special effects. But the stories are nonsensical. And they don't match up with canon, with 50 years of canon. And so what we have is a bunch of Star Trek apologists who are like, yeah, but that's because this isn't this and this. Like, no, this has to mean something. So if you just want to
hear a lot of, yeah, but blah, 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 when people talk.
Yeah, a lot of people apologize. There's a show called Altered Carbon on Netflix, and I watched the first episode. It's such a ripoff of Blade Runner. And I'm not as invested in Blade Runner, so I'm like, okay, that's fine. I don't care. That's fine. It's just crazy sci-fi. But this I care about. I care about every single frame of Star Trek from the first episode on. Well, maybe that's not entirely true, but there's some of them I don't. So this is my conundrum, is we've been watching 14 episodes of this, and I don't know. Kim seems to be, she's kind of like sliding a little more into the Discovery category, it sounds like.
I'm just happy that there is some Star Trek happening. So even if it doesn't fully meet all my expectations, and some of it's kind of crazy, but I'm still enjoying it.
Okay.
Some of it's annoying, and he's making his face. I know. Did you notice, like, during this episode, I kind of got the sense that, hey, this might be how they're going to shoehorn this into fitting with canon. When they were discussing the whole mirror universe, and they said, oh, this can never get out. This has to be classified forever.
You know, oh, like, yeah.
Wait a minute. Is that what they're going to do with all of this madness and just file it away in the giant storeroom, the giant warehouse with the Ark of the Covenant?
They are sweeping so many things into that giant warehouse, never to be opened up. There are so many things they have to pack away in this episode. It's insane. I mean, you may be right, although it seems like very, very delinquent to be like, oh, by the way, there's a mirror universe with an evil empire that will try to destroy us, and none of us should be aware of that.
Can't talk about it, because then everyone will want to go there.
Because then everyone will want to go and see their loved ones. Like, what? What are you talking about? What?
All you need is to find a spatial rift.
Find a spatial rift, beam over during an ion storm, and pass through. Yeah, that's all you have to do. Yeah,
you'll find a horrible version of your long-lost mother.
Yes.
If you didn't get along in this life, then she's going to be a terror in the other.
I know. It's funny because like I watched that that night, and then also the Cloverfield Paradox dropped on Netflix,
you watched that?
Oh yeah, I did. Yeah, that was bad.
I've never seen this Cloverfield anything.
Oh, good. Well, it doesn't matter. You can watch any of them. None of them link up. Like, all of them link up through, like, the most tenuous of ways. They've reverse engineered two movies now to link up with the original film Cloverfield, which is about, like, giant monsters eating up New York.
Yeah.
And then 10 Cloverfield Lane was this. This is a podcast about Star Trek, by the way. 10 Cloverfield Lane was this movie which sat on the shelves for like 2 years after, like, I think Paramount's, like, boutique studio folded up. Had John Goodman, you know, so it's pretty good. So then they reverse engineered it to put in Cloverfield references to it.
Oh.
And called it 10 Cloverfield Lane. And then this one is also a completely unrelated film called The God Particle, which then they also reverse engineered and put in references to Cloverfield. Netflix bought it up and then dropped it on Super Bowl Sunday. And be like, hey, there's another Cloverfield out here. And it's so bad.
And they put in a blue glowing Hayden Christensen.
Yes, yeah, they really threw in like shadows of monsters on Earth, and then like one character. Well, I won't spoil too much of it because there's nothing to spoil. It's just madness. But the interesting thing is in both of these, there's mirror universes, and in Discovery and in Cloverfield Paradox, they both say, if we could go see our loved ones who are still alive. Like, they both said that on Super Bowl Sunday night. I was like, what the hell's going on? Am I in some sort of Cloverfield paradox now? I don't understand it. But both of them had huge problems. Like, that can't be the only problem. That could, like, oh, we can't tell people because they want to go see their loved ones. That doesn't make them, I mean, no, because there's an evil empire on the other side that's going to want to kill us all. That's the big thing.
Ugh.
All right. So,
all right, then.
The end. Back to Cloverfield. No. Let's talk about this episode. So I didn't mind this one as much either. I'll be honest. I will admit.
Ooh.
Well, no. See, like, no. Don't. I'm not going to give you that. We deny nothing. It's from Star Trek 4. Star Trek 3. Is it? Yeah. Do deny this. We deny nothing. But I at least appreciated, because they were running. We've used this analogy of them running through the woods so fast that you don't notice that the trees are cardboard, like in the past three or four episodes of this. Mm-hmm. And at some point in time, you have to stop and acknowledge all the things you've done. They ran through the haunted house as fast as they could, and now they get on the other side like, whew, what was all that? And that's what they're doing now.
What did you like about this episode? Begrudgingly.
Well, I think I like the fact that they did just that, is that they did slow it down a little bit and talk about what had happened. What I didn't like in the individual scenes is how they wrapped everything up so conveniently. You know, I mean...
Well, that was our beef, that there were too many stories going, so let's trim a few.
They trimmed a lot, right? I mean, should we go through it, or should we just, like... Or should we just, like, plow? Just continue. All right. So I mean, let's take a look. Like, so the whole Vox/Ash Tyler thing. This guy neck snapped Culbert, right? So let's keep that in mind. He killed a Federation officer.
This wasn't him. It was Vok.
Right. And so the Klingon woman, like, puts lasers on his head, and cures him. And even though they couldn't tell last time that he wasn't Vok, this time they're certain he's not Vok. And they're like, well, he seems to be okay. He seems like everything's fine. Although I would want to get like a second opinion, but the other doctor's dead because this guy snapped his neck. See, that's still a red flag. And the fact there's no like force field in that sick bay in the first place, like, what are you doing?
But Saru talked to him for 1 minute and decided that he's fine. They put take your freedom.
Here, we're going to give you this Apple Watch. You're going to put it on your wrist, and I'm going to restrict your access to every place, including like this weird microbrewery in a later scene.
I'm not even sure what you're talking about.
We'll get to that. There's a scene where like there's all these weird tanks. He's like he's in this room when Michael Burnham shows up to talk to him, and he's in this weird room, like, it's not like a bed or anything. It's like these weird, like, oxygen tank things that are horizontal with little spigots, and it looks like it's like a microbrewery or something.
I'm looking at this scene now, and I don't know what you're talking about.
No, like, look, there are these little tanks on the wall. I'm not kidding.
Okay, I'm looking. There's all these tight close-ups, because it's a very emotional scene.
Well, yeah.
You need to spend time alone. Oh, I see what you're talking. They're oxygen tanks, you fool.
Well, what are they doing there?
Clearly oxygen.
Why do they need oxygen tanks just sitting there, like, with their little, like, you know, garden hose, like, spigots there, which they turn, and craft beer comes out, like, IPAs come out, you know? It's like, oh, well, you know, this is good, this is our pale ale here, and this is our summer lager, and we hope you enjoy it, because it's got a little bit of nutmeg in it.
Lost your mind.
I've lost my mind. a brief announcement here. So next week is the end of, or this actually Sunday, like in a day, probably you're getting this today, tomorrow, Saturday. Sunday's the last episode, but it's also the last two episodes of Hot Streets, which is far more important than Discovery. Hot Streets is the brand new show on Adult Swim, created by Brian Weissel and Justin Roiland of Rick and Morty fame, written at times by me, Mike McCafferty, voiced at times by me, Mike McCafferty. And we're going to have our last two episodes. You can watch them all free for the next couple days. And then tomorrow night at midnight, you get to watch the stunning finale. Not of Discovery, but of Hot Streets, season one. I can't believe that we're actually ending on the same night. That is so weird. I don't know what's going on.
Life, well, there is no coincidence.
This is true. This is true.
And open your fortune cookie and crunch it.
Or fire your phaser at the fortune cookies because you're an admiral and shooting things is okay.
Someone should have been reaching over to grab one. Hey!
Replicate a new hand for me. What was that? What is her deal, man? I mean,
son of a bitch.
So she's not long for this world. We can tell that because she's like a crazy person now. She's completely gone unhinged from being tortured, I guess, and from her anger at Mirror Universe Lorca. Right? So should we talk about Admiral, what is her name? Admiral Halsey?
Cornwell. Halsey?
I don't know. Cornwell. I mean, they both sound about
Katrina.
Right. I think there's an Admiral Halsey as well. Admiral Halsey he's in, I think, Next Generation. Someone will confirm that for me. But Admiral Cornwell, see, that doesn't sound as, I mean, like they both sound completely, you know, the same. Halsey, Cornwell. She's gone completely bonkers. She has lost her mind. She is more Mirror Universe than Lorca. Right? I mean.
Yeah, I'm looking at her little speech now at the very end where she just flat out lies to everyone.
Let's keep a pin in that. So
we'll come back to that.
So continue on my Ask Tyler rant here. This completely, you can't detect him any way. They couldn't detect him in the first place. Only a Klingon could kind of figure it out. And then a Klingon eradicated Valk, presumably. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of let him roam around. He decides to go to get something to eat in the mess hall after he's killed someone.
But he does apologize to Stamets along the way. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Feel bad? Yes. Good.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird, it's such a middle ground exchange. I kind of hope that Stamets would have been like, you know what, I forgive you, it's all cool. Like, actually, Culbert's in, like, this mushroom universe, so I'm chill about that.
That's right, brushing his teeth forever.
Yes. The best dental hygiene ever. So, yeah, we have that little run-in, and then he goes to get something to eat. And he walks in, and it's just like deathly silent because, oh man, we hate Ash Tyler. I mean, we're pretty much okay with evil Lorca, but Ash Tyler, no way, man.
He killed Culber. Does everyone know by that point?
I guess so. I mean, they seem like all pissed off at him. And like, I'm expecting, okay, this is gonna be a long arc to redemption, right? We have to redeem this character. He's a murderer. Let's just put it out there. Nope. Tilly's just going to come right over there. It's like, hello, you know, and just like, just kind of Tilly that up. Because he's cute. I know. Yeah. She Tillied it and just cut through all that. And then everyone else kind of shows up like, hey, Ash, all right, man. You want some microbrew beer? Yeah, I know where you can get
You're
it.
You're not going to snap our necks, are you?
Yuck, 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 yuck. Come on, buddy.
joke headlock.
Why I oughta, come on.
Watch out for this guy.
Oh. I mean, did that not bother you, or is it just me? Am I just like completely out of my mind for thinking that?
It didn't bother me too much.
It didn't?
That they were all kind to him, you mean?
But like, I mean, is there no one? I mean, like, even Stamets is like, okay, I don't like you, but I guess it's okay. So like, we're all okay with that. Like that arc is now closed. He was, I mean, all right, fine. See, I'm so out of, like, I'm evidently so out of touch. This is the best show ever on television. Everyone loves this show. I'm in the wrong. Like, it doesn't matter that someone kills someone else and there's no retributions except you get like a free Apple Watch.
That wasn't him. That's the whole point.
How do we know? Like,
we don't.
Like, second tier doctor says, well, I can't find anything wrong with him. Well, you couldn't find anything wrong with him in the first place. That was the whole thing. And then L'Oreal just says, like, yeah, he's fine. I purged Valk because that seems like it's the right thing to do. You know, I mean, anyway. All right, so.
Yeah. Why didn't she take that opportunity to kill Tyler?
Yes.
Why didn't she keep Valk?
And just, yeah, I mean, like, you know, you are going to be called as Tyler. Just remember that. You're like, oh, okay, good.
Kalish.
All right, so what else should we show? So, like, that kind of bugged me, obviously. So they burned the whole mycelium network. They, like, burned the whole thing down, like, last episode for reasons that are kind of, like, I don't understand. And then they just rebuild it again.
So they could work in another Star Trek's greatest hits, the Genesis effect.
Pretty much. They just land these things down there, and it's, like, 20%. 25%? We're doing it like Jesus, man. I mean, this is... Is no one freaked out that these mushrooms grow, like, over the entire planet in, like 85 seconds? I mean, holy shit, man. Let's just shoot these things at the Klingons and it'll kill them, you know? I mean, like the Genesis mushrooms.
Yep.
But again, it's a very convenient solution to a problem which they created, which they didn't need to create. They're like, oh my God, all my mushrooms are dead. All my spores are dead. What are we going to do? Oh, I've got one last spore left. Let's put in a spaceship. Let's send it down. Let's grow this thing. And we have a whole new planet full of mushrooms. We didn't need that. Like, that was like such a roundabout way of getting back to a thing we didn't need in the first place.
Well, how did you feel about the whole, I thought it was a promising conversation when Cornwell goes to Laurel in her cell? Real self.
Yes.
Says all the things that the Klingons have been doing, you know, attacking food convoys and civilians and destroying hospitals. And what do you want? that's what we've been asking since episode one.
Yes.
When they were in the first episode, the Klingons are complaining about how the Federation is looking to assimilate us and destroy our culture, and we need to preserve our identity. Back then, I was wondering, who's threatening you? They say there hasn't been any contact in 100 years or something.
Yeah.
So it's sort of addressed in this episode, or in that conversation. What are you looking for? Territory? Do you want surrender? You don't make any demands, and how does this war end? And I thought her answer was just very unsatisfying. It doesn't.
It doesn't.
You have to conquer us, or we will never relent.
Which is kind of like a weird thing. Like, you know, you have to kill us. I mean, I guess it falls into the Klingon mythology now. I mean, the whole Klingon... Although, it doesn't really fall into the original Klingons. The original Klingons were, like... See, here's the thing. These are Next Generation or, you know, Kelvin Universe Klingons that we're talking about, which are these warring tribes, which are just... They're like biker gangs. It's like, let's go, man! They just kind of, like, you know, like, motor into the Federation and destroy whatever they want and then just roll out without any sort of, like, plan. Whereas original series Klingons... We're very calculating, and they're very devious and methodical. These guys are just crazy people. They're just insane. Just
fighting for the sake of fighting or to outdo each other. They want to be the dominant house, I guess. They don't care about unity among all the houses. They just want to be the strongest house.
Yeah, it is.
So who can destroy the most? That makes you the strongest house, I guess.
It's kind of like some sort of demolition derby kind of thing, right? They're just going to kind of go plowing into things. And it's an answer which we've never, like, I've never seen the Klingons behave like that before. They have this level of ascension where it's like, no, there's one, I mean, and maybe this, see, in the original series, there wasn't like an emperor or, you know, whoever was in charge. Like, they never really discussed that power structure. In the Next Generation, there is. In Deep Space Nine, in Voyager, there is, there's power structure.
Chancellor, Gowron.
Yes, Chancellor, yes. I was thinking Emperor, but Chancellor. And so now they're giving us this kind of strange, like, well, they're just like wild dogs just roaming through here. And I don't know where that comes from. I mean, they've got one episode to turn this all around and say, okay, now they're going to be humans. Now they're going to be organized. Now there's going to be a chancellor. Live with that. But they're so crazy that they literally are on Earth's doorstep with Space Dock 1 or Starbase 1.
Starbase 1.
Well, who's saying it's Space Dock? I heard it's Space Dock.
I don't know. She said Starbase a bunch of times.
Well, maybe it's Space Dock in the original or something like that. I swear to you, there was a discussion on Reddit where people were saying, where the hell did they get Space Dock 1? What's the... Let me see. I'll find this. So...
tangent.
Well, it's relevant. It's relevant because, I mean, if they're trying to link up all these universes into one... then they need to get their facts straight. Someone needs to get their facts straight. Because again, these Klingons, they show up, they kill like 80,000 people, but they're right at Earth.
Yeah, I thought it was funny that Cornwell says, they're practically in our backyard. I'm like, practically?
Wait, where's our backyard now? They're in our front yard, lady. I mean, they've destroyed our little lawn gnomes. I mean, they're here. Because, like, someone, like, pointed out that, like, that was Earth. Someone, like, pointed out, like, oh, that's Nova Scotia. Yes, that's...
I just assumed it was.
We all assumed it was. Where, like, they spray-painted, like, the Klingon house on it. I'm like, what is this? And what was it? House de Gore. let me see. All right, so here, I'm reading this through. Let's see. There's been people talking about how Earth Space Dock 1, first seen in this... The Search for Spock, should be Starbase 1. Okay, so in the movies, it's Space Dock 1, or Earth Space Dock, that big mushroom-like space station. They call it Space Dock. They don't call it Starbase 1. So maybe they just changed the name. So, all right, I'll grant them a pass on that. But again, we have this weird thing where the Klingons are just kind of... This whole time travel thing... I don't know what we're getting as far as, like, from a narrative standpoint. It just accelerated something which we didn't want to accelerate in the first place. We didn't understand why they're attacking in the first place. It's just this wild horde crossing over the border and just attacking. They're just orcs, basically. and they're like, even when the Klingons attacked each other, or when they attacked the Federation in Deep Space Nine. You know, at least they had plans. At least they had, like, okay, we're going to do this. Even when there's a civil war, there was, you know, House Gowron and House Lursa and, you know, Bator. Is it Lursa and Bator? Yeah. I mean, or House Duras. So at least we had that. This I don't understand. I don't get what's going on. And we got one more episode to figure that out. And hopefully it'll involve the Crystal Radio Tower. We saw six episodes ago, which they defended with their lives, and Saru ran all over the place. So
I've been rewatching all the episodes, and I forgot about the whole, it's the second Harry Mudd episode, where he has the time crystal, where the ships keeps blowing up. I'm like, time crystal? Forget about how stupid that was.
This show has everything. This is why everyone loves it, because there's something for everyone. There are time crystals. There are giant crystal space antennas. There are mycelium networks. There's mycelium universes. There are alternate universes. There's time travel. I mean, there is everything you can want. There is opera. There are dead people who show up in the mycelium universe. What do you want? What do I want?
Mike McCaffrey.
There's space whales. What?
That you can hide a ship inside, apparently. And travel inside the ship in the whale.
And then there's the tardigrades. Remember, like, tardigrades were, like, such a big thing in the first, like, five episodes, and then we haven't heard about them, you know, ever since?
Nipple clamps.
With the nipple clamps. What is wrong with me? I mean, this has everything. This is, like, the shotgun effect of just giving you every single sci-fi trope every episode. It is a rotating buffet of sci-fi, and I can't deal with it. What's my problem, Kim? Am I curmudgeonly? Is that what it is?
You know too much.
Do I demand too much?
Are you curmudgeonly?
I might be curmudgeonly. See, here's the thing, and I hate to harp on this, but like since I've moved into being like a writer, I used to be an actor. Now that part of me is dead. It's the evil Lorca part of me.
Like a mushroom forest.
And shall we just say that Lorca, good Lorca, is still lingering around someplace, pending contract negotiations, don't we think? Did you catch that?
You mentioned that to me, and watching him fall into the mycelial orb and the Emperor's ship again, wasn't he just turned into the mushroom spores?
Well, no, that's bad, Lorca. But now, first of all, they did show that in the previously on, which, like you never show anything in previously on unless you're going to call back to it. You know, like, you can always tell what the episode's going to be about coming up if they show you scenes that are pertinent to what's going to be coming up.
Well, but the fact that he set up her shooting his fortune cookies.
Yes, that's
not eating these anymore. Zap. Or
and
his
that
damn tribble
is closed off. Yes, the mysterious here and not here tribble, which was never around when Vok was around. It was so oddly convenient.
But I was wondering if they're going to have evil Lorca reappear just because he turned into the. If Kullberg can just vanish into the Mushroom Network, can't dissolved evil Lorca?
Sure, why not? Because, I mean, like, Kullberg didn't even, like, there was no reason why he should have been in the Mycelium Network. He just was, right? I mean, it was just like magic that he was just like...
Yep, magic.
Well, you know, if a half-human, half-Klingon snaps your neck, you get to go to Mycelium Heaven, which is next to Pizza Heaven, just so you know. We call back everything we talk about here, not like Trek Geeks or Trek FM. Screw those guys.
Screw those guys.
Speaking of Trek FM, I have a very important announcement to make. We've been homeless for a little while. We lost Feral Audio, and it is with great pain and anguish that I announce that we found a new network, and it is not Trek FM. So... Suck it, Trek FM. We're going to the Starburns Audio Network.
Woo-hoo!
Yes. They didn't actually realize that we were still broadcasting. That's the best part about it. I contacted the guy because I thought, like, oh, they just want the bigger podcast. And he's like, oh, I thought you were on a break. Like, no, we've been podcasting ever since. We're literally using this guy's CBS All Access password. Like, I mean, it's his name on the account. And he's like, oh, I didn't know you guys were like, you didn't? Okay.
We've been busting our asses 5 days after they air to put out a new podcast.
Well, we're getting perspective now. That's what we're doing. Instead of just riding roughshod into it, we're getting perspective on each episode.
True.
So I can be even angrier at it.
Our delay has enabled me to rewatch all these old episodes and remember how annoying some of them were.
Yes.
I'm Harry crystals. Mud. Awful.
See, here's like we talk about the tribble. Like here's a little thing. Like that tribble is there, right? It's Chekhov's tribble. It's like Chekhov's gun. You don't put something in a scene unless you're going to use it later on. And they put it there just as like an ornamentation initially. Because like from what I understand, they didn't have Star Trek, like people who knew Star Trek until episode 6, right? So Lorca, like every third episode or every second episode, has a tribble like, brr, brr, I'm like, haha, that's great. And like, wait, are they going to have this? Like, because that's a dead giveaway that tribbles hate Klingons. And they probably just caught it last minute where like finally these Star Trek, you know, aficionados show up. It's like, oh my God, you can't have those two things in the same room.
I think they could have missed something that obvious. And if they claim to be such experts on or to honor the canon and all that stuff.
Well, no, but like, but no, remember, like I said, like they didn't really bring in people who were like fact checking all the 50 years of Star Trek lore. Like Brian Fuller, he was there and gone. So he was the guy who had like a direct lineage. Harve Bennett, like, he doesn't give a shit. He's like, I directed Star Trek 2 and 6. Hooray! You know, I mean, and like that's his big thing.
Is he still connected to the show? Part of the early planning.
He's still listed as an executive producer. He still marches around like he's one.
Is he? Oh, I always skip the credits now.
Oh no! You know, you have to watch the credits because the amount of executive producers and consulting producers is huge. Mm-hmm. There are like 15 people who are credited as executive or consulting producers on this. I mean, Brian Fuller.
Should be Harv Bennett.
Why not? You know, I mean, I can be. You know, it's hard to get an executive producer credit. I tried.
Consulting
producer. It's hard to. Anyway, so I don't even know what I was talking about. Oh, so to have like the fact that they missed the fact that a Klingon and a Tribble the same room would totally give it away. It shows me that every single one of these episodes is like this self-contained experiment, basically. That they're like, well, maybe this is what's going to work. Maybe this is what's going to work. And they ran right through the mirror universe so fast that I don't even know what the hell's going on. Like, we never got to see anything outside of, like, weird corridors inside Giorgio's Emperor's spaceship, which, despite being gigantic, seemed really small, right? It's like the same corridor over and over again.
Well, you had, what, a good 3-4 episodes in the mirror universe?
I think it was 3. Maybe it was 4, but it felt, you know, they get on the Enterprise or the Discovery, and then they go on the, what's the name of that ship? The Canto? What is the Giorgio's big spaceship?
So much going on. Oh, the Charon.
Charon. Dear God, what the hell? Shields.
Take her away.
Cam and her cats, if you haven't seen.
He's right here. Here's my barfing cat.
Oh, okay. So if you go to our website or go to our Facebook page and go to, I don't know, like the 30-minute mark, you'll see the barfing cat. Because we record this now. All right. So are we? So have I? Is there anything I liked about this? Let me think. Oh. So here's my big thing. Like, so we saw Lorca, like in the previously on, and then Admiral Halsey / Cornwall, Cornhole says. That sounds sexual, but it's actually one of those names in the Midwest where it's. She says this very telling thing, like, so good Lorca must have beamed over there, and there's no way someone that good and pure, you know, my Lorca could have survived in that universe, which is such a leading thing.
Yeah.
It's so like, well, if we can, you know, if Jason Isaacs wants to come back, he's going to come back, because they were plastering his face all over Star Trek Discovery advertisements, and now he's gone, and like, what are we going to do?
So you're saying that Jason Isaacs, he was expecting to be on the show long term, and it wasn't all along the idea that he would be killed 3 episodes from the end.
I don't know if he was hired. I don't know if he was hired after Brian Fuller, and I mean, it seems like this season is so run and gun. You know, you have your 2 episode prequel. You have like 4 episodes of tardigrade nonsense. You have Mud come in for a couple of episodes. Then you go to like
Pavo.
What's that?
Pavo with the crystal tower.
Yeah, like the crystal tower for 2 episodes. Then you go to the mirror universe for 4 episodes. Then you come back for this 2 episode mini arc, you know, where we're getting to the big craziness. The one thing I do like, here it is. I still like Saru. And this goes back to like what I was trying to say earlier in this podcast, is that I derided him so much early on, and yet I really, really enjoy Doug Jones. I really enjoy the character. Episode after episode.
He seems like the only true Starfleet officer.
Yes.
Well, that's not true, but the one who has the most lines.
Well, yes.
Main character, I should
Yes, like Lieutenant Apple Product Girl and like, other random like people. Did you notice, like...
Two girls that run the... Two officers, I should say.
There's the African American girl with like dreadlock
shaved head. Oh,
yeah, okay.
And what's her name?
Girl with crazy eye.
Yeah, with the implant on her head.
Implant on her head. And then did you notice, like, when they beamed on, like, with like, when the other ship beamed on, they beamed right on the bridge with, like, weapons drawn, and no one yes. seems to be able to stop that.
With their Andorian.
With their Andorian reflector. And the Tellarite. You know that they had those facial prosthetics, like, we got to make all the use we can of these things, all right? So they're going to be in the Mirror Universe. They're going to be here again. We're going to have them all the time. Same guy, just all the time. This, again, it's the tiny universe theory.
Now, he was one of the hologram admirals, Starfleet admirals, wasn't he?
Oh, was he?
Leadership Council guys.
All right, so the Andorian guy or the Tellarite?
Yeah, there was an Andorian.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay. But anyways, do you notice like when they barged onto the ship and they're like, everyone drop your weapons, and there's like one dude, like everyone's in like outfits except there's like one dude who's just like in a t-shirt.
No.
It's like a black t-shirt. It's kind of like what I'm wearing right now. Just like, oh, hey, whoa, I'm kind of off duty. I was going
to a part of the landing party. Oh.
No. Like one of the Discovery crew, like on the left-hand side, as you're looking at the back of the bridge, like this guy who just kind of,
I can watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember if it's a guy or a girl, but they're just like wearing this black t-shirt. And it's just kind of like, hi, oof, I am actually a PA. I got caught in the shot, and I'm going to pretend like I'm part of Star Trek, you know, so.
How come voucher, one walks through with the little triangular clipboards and has the captain sign things like we
Oh, I know. Series. I know. Well,
no
I did
one's
know.
Bringing the captain cups of coffee, things like that.
This is true. This is true. although I do notice that they are having a lot more chatter has suddenly started, and it seems like I'm hearing it much more on the bridge, where it's like you hear all this stuff that's like, you know, aft port, okay, you know, like section 5, go. It's like all these like radio signals, like mm-hmm. people chattering back and forth on the intercoms.
Oh yeah, I have heard that.
It's what they had in the original series. Like they'd always have like, you know, like phaser control, standing by. They have like that kind of in the background, because Gene Roddenberry kind of wanted to have this sort of naval feel and people always talking back and forth. And they definitely amp that up. Like, they're like, it's just like, someone turn that off, you guys. We've got like, we are being boarded right now.
Yeah. I notice that anytime there's a scene in the hallway or in the mess hall, you hear all these background announcements and things.
Security
meeting in 10 minutes. And
we're going to have to go over our security protocols since like 9 people beamed onto the bridge and took over the ship, including the admiral. You know, like, I don't know if the admiral should be beaming on, you know, it's like with her gun drawn. Where are those damn fortune cookies?
Bring that to me!
At last, it's finally over.
Did you like how Sarek did that, just the hand to stop?
Yes, like his like crazy like Vulcan hand powers. He's like, you know, one, like, I want to animate like laser beams coming out of that, because that was pretty cool. It was...
what didn't you like about Saru in the beginning?
Well, I think we talked about like Saru as a character, at least from the
sense death nonsense.
Yeah, I sensed, my people sense death, and death is here. You know, and it was just such a weird thing. We talked about this a lot, and now like he rarely senses death. He never senses death. In fact,
when he should,
when exactly. he should, his threat ganglia are completely messed up right now. we talked about this like. Saru, I want to talk to you about your threat ganglia, because, I mean, here's the thing. Lorca was evil, like, all the time.
So was Tyler.
So was Tyler. Tyler was evil all the time. And, like, the only time your threat ganglia going off is, like, when Michael Burnham walks in, which, like, I agree with you. She's evil, too. But you can't parse through that. Dude, man, it has to go off either all the time or none of the time, okay? Because it's freaking us out.
When he saw evil Empress Georgia, they should have gone boing.
I know. It's like, I mean, because they didn't, did they? Like, or did they? I can't remember if they did.
He just went, Captain Emperor.
Okay. Okay, we can do this
now. Not a fan.
I've eased into this episode. I told you the things I like. I'm also okay with the actor playing Sarek. Like he's not playing it like Mark Leonard, but he's kind of owning it in his own way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's sort of like the Star Trek Continues guys. It's like by the time when they reach the end of the series, they're like, "We're not William Shatner, but we are who we are." And I kind of like this Sarek now. I'm kind of like, okay, I'm on board. So Saru and Sarek, like all the aliens, I'm very happy with. It's just the humans Arium. Which are bugging me. What's that?
The more I look at Arium, or as you call her, Apple Girl, she kind of looks like an adult baby. The more I look at her, she has very soft, rounded features.
Adult baby. All right,
but, I like that Sarek doesn't wear those big 70s looking turquoise stones on his clothes. I like that they don't make him wear that.
Big stone?
Yeah, like whenever you would see like the Vulcans in the old series.
Oh, that's Sarek, yeah.
Next Generation and in the movies, they had them wearing these huge stones, like lapels.
Yeah, that's true. They it's like we're like kind of post like aliens must wear weird clothes kind of stuff. He's just like Vulcans are the most normal aliens we have. In the 60s, they were insane. Like they airbrushed off Spock's ears to not freak out people from the South. That's how alien. Yeah, you didn't know about that?
In photos?
Yes, in photos.
Airbrushed.
Yes, in there's airbrushed photos of him in like publicity stills.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know this? Oh, God, yeah. It was a big thing where, like, as they were getting ready to roll out Star Trek, they were afraid that, like, the Southern affiliate stations would be like, no way, man, that guy looks like the devil. So they airbrushed his ears. It's so crazy. Well, I'll post something on the Facebook page so you guys can check it out. But it was a guy who has pointy ears, strange eyebrows, and a slightly, and if you're not watching in black and white, and if you're watching color, a slightly green-tinted skin is an alien in the 1960s. In 1966, that is terrifying and possibly Satan.
Oh, my God.
And now it could be someone who's, like, on Venice Beach with a little bit of plastic surgery. You know, it's just like, you know, fuck yeah, man, I'm an alien, you know, like we don't even care about that stuff anymore. Like it's such. I mean, even the Andorians are like, oh, okay. all right, so let's get to the big giant reveal, which is that.
Wait, what about the plan to go to Kronos and beam underground?
Oh, yes.
I kind of thought that was an interesting addition to the canon. I don't think they've ever. Well, maybe they have, I don't know. Talked about how Kronos itself is a series of caverns. Like, adding to the lore of Star Trek that way, I thought, okay, that's kind of interesting. I'll buy that.
That's okay. I don't mind that. That, like, I can be okay with that. Because Kronos is, you know, we could see a little more Kronos. I mean,
yeah,
and the
all we've really seen is like matte paintings from Next Generation, where every building looks like a pyramid, and
yes, yeah, like a weird Japanese pagoda / pyramid. It's kind of like a mixture of the two. Yes, this is true. So, I mean, and I guess we saw a little bit in the Star Trek Beyond, no, Into Darkness movie. When they went to Klingon to Kronos, but that was, you know, who knows what that was about. The fact that it was like a lava planet actually kind of makes the Klingons a little more badass. I'm okay with that. And I don't understand what this. I guess I understand the plan. It's like, okay, if we strike them, it's sort of like what they did with the Japanese with the when they sent bombers to Japan after Pearl Harbor, like Doolittle went and they bombed Japan. Mm-hmm. Just like, okay, we hit you, you hit us, we hit you, just to show that we can do it. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to draw back the forces. But that doesn't really make that much sense because it's like, well, wait a minute, they're all acting independently, so what would they care? You know, if Kronos is hit.
If you attack their little home. Home prefecture. Maybe they'll come home.
Maybe they will come home. I don't know. I mean, sure, it's a plan. It'll get them to come back, I guess.
But it kind of feels like the series is sort of focusing a little more rather than hitting 10 different stories. Like, okay,
well, in one episode they did all that. And I mean, in one episode they've collapsed their tents on like five different like storylines.
Well, if you don't like that, that you'd like that.
Well, I like I'm okay with it, but I'm just, I guess I'm frustrated.
We're done with the mirror, sort of.
We're done with the mirror. Oh, yeah, we'll be back. We're kind of like, well, the Mycelium Network is back to where it was, so it's not in danger. I mean, like, that's fine. If we can reset everything, including the Klingon War, and get back to season two of just like, hey, let's go explore strange new worlds and seek out new life and new civilizations. Let's like actually follow that initial.
I forgot that was a thing.
Remember that? Instead of like, you know, like everybody run, you know, like if we could do that, because I've been watching more episodes with Kiernan. We watched the one with Kevin Uxbridge, the crazy alien on the planet who like makes Troy crazy with like music box music in her head and dances with his like fake wife. And it's like, this is really a weird, cool episode.
Kevin
Uxbridge and
Kevin.
That's true. I'm Kevin.
I'm an incredibly powerful alien from my entire species.
I wiped them all out, Captain. But that
hey,
was...
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, so Kevin, we're going to go now, and we're not judging because we don't know how to judge you, and you keep on dancing with your fake wife, and goodbye. It's a weird episode, right? Because they just keep on going back and back and back to this house. They're like... Like yeah. Weird, like Jehovah Witnesses, were like, "Hey, so have
you walking in?" Yes.
I mean, like four times in this episode, they walk in on them dancing, and he's like, "Get the fuck out of my house!" And he's like, "I'm not convinced that you're safe. I'm safe."
And then what do like, I have to do? Blow up my house? Yes.
I know. Yes, and then they do, and then he still comes back. Jean-Luc, just go, man. I mean, just go. I mean, what are you doing? You know, I mean.
Well, they had to find out why Troy was going crazy. What if they had just left and then she would have been fine?
Yes. Yes, that was the correct choice. They're just like, you guys are cool? We're cool. Oh, all right. Goodbye. I mean, it's not a perfect episode, but it's interesting, right? It's like
what's
this.
What's the name of that one again?
I don't know. Crazy Kevin, you know, kills Crazy Troy. Kevin. Crazy Kevin.
Two Ks.
See, this is the stuff I like. This is the stuff I can wrap my head around. This episodic stuff where it's like, okay, we have a mystery, we have characters, we have character arcs, both with our established cast and with our guest stars who are helping to facilitate small changes within our regular cast as we see bigger arcs with the other cast. I mean, so like Crazy Kevin, he's like, oh gosh, I'm so sorry about, you know, like he is living in guilt that he didn't kill these marauding aliens and they wiped out everyone, including his wife. And so then retroactively, he kills everybody in this species. He just wipes them all out. And he's like, oh man, I feel terrible about that. Everywhere, every single member of this species, who he also qualified as being like horrible and ruthless creatures. Like, oh, well, you know, it's kind of a judgment call on your part, because I mean, you killed them all, so I mean, we'll never know. But so now he spends the rest of his life like dancing with this fake woman, and it is kind of like a little music box. It is kind of like that's his world. It's this apt little it's an apt metaphor where it's just this music box of him and his wife, and it's beautiful and it's disturbing, and it's over, and we. And we as an audience can take the message and take the lesson and move on. Whereas with Discovery, I don't know what message I'm being given episode to episode, except like everyone run really fast and don't trust anybody because they're going to change every 5 seconds.
That episode was called The Survivors.
The Survivors. Okay.
Season 3.
Season 3, episode 4. Yeah. Or 6 or something.
Episode 3.
Okay.
Yeah, this season of Discovery, we've not had a single episode that was just a self-contained story of exploration that wasn't connected to the Klingon War and mushrooms and madness.
Maybe the Mud episode, the second Mud episode with the time thing. That was the closest one I got to being like, oh, okay, so this is something about something. I don't know what they're trying to say, but at least the story had a beginning, middle, and end. You know, like the time thing?
I'm trying to remember what his purpose was. He wanted to get the
mushroom discovery drive.
To sell it to the Klingons.
Yeah, so it's like, it's kind of like a secondary objective, but, you know, he also wants to punish Lorca and blah, 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 blah. But at least you have a character, a flawed character in Mudd, who's trying to accomplish something, and then he receives sort of his justice of, like, being beamed off with Stella and her robber baron father of an arms dealer, which is like, he's an arms dealer, right? Shouldn't we arrest him? I mean...
You just keep Mudd away from us.
Yeah. With benevolent Lorca there, where he's like, okay, all right, well, hope we don't see you again, you scoundrel. That's what I want. Like, if they come back in season two and say, you know what, we're going to slow it down, we're going to explore the human experience. Through science fiction, we'll explore. You know, there's great television shows on right now which do that. I mean, I could name off at least one. Hot Streets. Hot Streets does that.
The list begins and ends there, because we don't need to see anything.
If you watch episode 9, Squid of the Dead, on Sunday night, written by, the whole writer's room, but it has my name on it, we visit the city of Acrisia, an underwater city where everyone tells the truth. But what does that do with our Hot Streets crew? Find out.
Chubby Webbers.
Chubby Webbers is going to be there, and Fraunch.
Chubby Ruffles.
No Tommy Rebels, no.
Beanie Squeezy.
No, not this episode. But, this is good too. I know, this is still our Star Trek episode. You can go on As Seen on Adult Swim, and you can buy a Chubby Webbers doll, Kim.
Ooh.
One of those ones that you pull, it's a pull toy that says,
oh.
$20. $20, it's actually a pretty good deal, I mean, to be honest. All right, so we've
been we've done the Genesis effect on this moon, so we've got plenty of mushrooms instantly. Yes.
And so now
we've got enough spores that we can jump home.
Now, Kim, you had an excellent analogy for what happens next. You so
I forgot what I said.
You basically said, "All right, so."
Oh yes, just remembered.
We just captured Osama bin Laden. We captured him alive. Why don't we put him in charge to try and destroy ISIS?
What other chance do we have? I mean, what not?
What could go wrong? There's no one else who's competent enough to handle this.
I mean, we're desperate, so how can we not do this? But we won't tell anyone what we're really doing. We'll just say that he never was killed in Pakistan, and he was rescued.
This is real, Captain Giorgio, and this is all going to be okay. So this is so inexplicable, where Admiral Cornwallis just decides to pull rank after shooting fortune cookies and turn Empress Giorgio, who's not a member of Starfleet, who's not a member of the universe, and puts her in charge of, you know what, the one ship that can actually get her home, by the way.
Yes.
Puts her in charge. I mean, it's like, should we not forget that Lorca, all he did was like, destination unknown.
Unknown.
Right in my keypad. Beep. Time to go home.
Just put that back in. Destination. Yeah. Previous destination.
Let me see. Let me look at my history and my browser history. Oh, there it is. Destination unknown. Beep.
Up here we go. Yeah, what would be the first thing she does? It's just... put in destination unknown, go back to her own universe with this ultimate weapon.
Yeah.
Oy.
Yeah, so that just totally baffled me. I mean, if you like Discovery, please come up with a reason why that makes sense. I don't know if I understand that. I've never...
That's what next week is going to be all about, I think.
Oh, yeah, of course. So here... It is the enemy of my enemy is my friend philosophy. And I get that. That's a wonderful trope to use. We see it like in a lot of TV shows, a lot of movies, where it's like, oh, well, you know, we have a common enemy now. Let's team up, and there's a lot of tension, and, you know, we'll see how that works out. I get that. But we've only just met Giorgio. We haven't really seen her in any level of deviousness or benevolence. She's been just kind of like, I'm just trying to survive. Lorca's evil. And now she's in charge, so I just don't... It just didn't make sense to me. Just bum me out. Bum me out.
But the idea that the Federation is Cornwell as its face is just, here's what's really happening, and just the flat out lying and the cover up. Like, that's the Federation? Is that just a reflection of how people currently have so little faith in what they really hear? No one trusts their own government now. Everyone's suspicious of anything that comes out. Oh, it's the dark, what do they call it? The deep state, and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It is so weird. I mean, again, if we're trying to line this up with now 9 years away from Captain Kirk stepping on the Enterprise and saying, let's go, how do we get there? How do we get from this madness where Earth has been almost devastated, where admirals are lying left and right? Now, there's a long history of admirals being corrupt. There's no problem with that. But I mean, just what? How is this going to get to, like, Kirk and Spock jauntily, you know? I mean, really, in 5 years, Spock's going to be on the Enterprise with Captain Pike. I think it wasn't like...
Is it that soon coming up?
I don't know. I think he did like a five-year stint with Pike, and then Kirk jumped on.
What's the difference? How? I've completely forgotten about where this fits in with the original series. Time-wise, is it like, so the beginning of the five-year mission is what, 5 years in the future?
It was supposed to be 10 years before Kirk and Spock. That's what they said. And so really, actually, it was like, so the Battle of the Binary Stars was, we went 6 months after that. So yeah. It was 9.5 years. And then we went 9 months after that, if we take no time from the Battle of Binary Stars and her getting on the Discovery, which I think we can probably actually add a couple months on. So really, I mean, we're close to almost 2 years from when we started. So in like 8 years, Kirk, Spock, McCoy, Scotty, and no weird aliens, just those guys, are going to step on the Enterprise, like an all-human with one alien, one Vulcan, whoever's going to be like, what's up with that weirdo, you know? I mean, have you seen Screen Face? Have you seen Apple Girl? What's the matter? What the hell, man?
What happened to that alien that had the enormous head?
Yes.
Regular-sized human body.
Weird, like Seth Brundlefly head from, yeah, you know...
It's a like, good way to describe it.
Yeah, David Cronenberg's The Fly movie. Like, just giant head. And somehow all of that's going to go away... And like, McCoy's going to be like, you pointy-eared Vulcan. You know, like, how weird are you? You know, like, wow.
You green-blooded.
That strange physiology of these Vulcans. Like, what about that guy over there? Like, where were you, McCoy? Were you, like, in Georgia just being like, I'm only going to look at humans, you know? I mean, well, did you not see those Klingons, like, shooting, like, Starbase One, like, right above us, you know?
Did you see that? Huge battle in the sky.
And like Starbase like 1 has...
8,000 like, people are dead?
Yeah, I was like...
Remember that?
You might have known some of those guys. I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, like... Just an old country doctor. Yeah.
Mint julep.
Mint julep's there. There's a lot to reconcile. If they
That's
were...
why I was wondering in this episode of when they're talking about this gonna get out, this must all be classified. Like, maybe that's the trick they're going to use, but it's an awful lot to sleep under a rug. You need a big rug!
Yeah, it's still fascinating to me that CBS is kind of going along with this. And like, risking at this point in time invalidating the original series, which is such a cash cow for them. We'll see. I mean, again, see, if you're listening to this podcast, if you've made it this far, thank you. Please like, comment,
thanks,
subscribe.
Jim.
Thanks, James. Thanks, Zach. Thanks. I don't know if we have any people. Oh, and we also have someone who answered our Terry Gilliam. Gillian Anderson. Gillian Anderson. What is it? She said the soft
Gillian.
G. Gillian.
Gillian.
Gillian Anderson. A question of why she speaks with a British accent when she's in England.
Oh, they
did you see that? Oh,
no.
You didn't see that? Evidently, you haven't been to the I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek Facebook page recently.
Not in the past 2 days. Well, it was like our German listener.
Well, it was like 5 days ago. He answered that. He.
Oh, well, what did he say?
Basically, what he said. Like, let's see if I can find this. But he said basically that she was born in England, and then like at age 11, she came over, and because she was teased, she adopted a Midwestern accent. So she's bi-dialectual, I think, is what he said. So I was like, oh my.
Dialectal.
Bi-dialectual.
Okay.
Which I've never heard her speaking, but I'm like, okay, that's a pretty good, that's a pretty good answer. I don't even know.
She works a lot over there. Isn't the Fall a British series?
Yeah, like, and then he also commented on something like one of his on some series that she was great in. So, yeah. So that may be our answer to our previous podcast question that I had. we ask lots of questions. There's no doubt about that.
And we learned that Shahzad Latif Walk Ash Tyler is British.
Oh, I didn't know that. I think you told me that, but. Yes. Let's see. I can't remember who said that.
He was in Penny Dreadful and a couple other things.
Oh, all right, good. All right. A couple other pieces of news. I think. Actually, I heard this on. Well, it doesn't even matter. But there's a new Star Trek game online called Star Trek Adversaries, which is like a Magic the Gathering Pokemon Hearthstone-like game that you can play for free. And I've been playing it in the alpha stage, and it's kind of fun. So, you know, check it out. My my username is Roy Kirk, as in Jackson Roy Kirk.
The creator.
You're wrong. That's two errors you made. And you failed to correct your error. That's three errors you made. Error, faulty, must sterilize.
We've never talked about that episode, have we?
No, we should.
It's all been on hold during this Discovery madness.
I'm not usually like this, everyone. I'm usually a lot. See, did you see how I came alive when we talked about the survivors on TNG? I was so happy.
Yes.
Like, I understand that. I'm a simple man with a simple brain. And I just want to talk about Star Trek that I understand. Because it's just like this weird puzzle piece which is being introduced to my world, and I don't get it. Again,
if you went to the Mirror Universe and you saw Mirror Sarah, your wife, she was evil, and in this universe, Sarah had, gone missing. When you're beaming back to come back here, would you jump on evil Sarah and bring her back with you? Just because you think, I can rehabilitate her in this universe.
Well, does that translate as well, or is it? Let me see. Like if Dan Harmon, let's say, if Dan Harmon had been killed, Rick and Morty, show creator,
someone you have an emotional connection to, thinks of Georgia as her mother figure.
Yeah, well, who'd be like? I'm trying to think who'd like maybe like my drama teacher Ken Stevens or something like that. I'd be like, oh, Ken, come with me. I don't care if you're evil. Woo. And now you get to write for Hot Streets. Hooray! I trust you. Sorry, Brian Weissel. You're out. You know, aha. I'm relieving you of writing duties. Go to it.
Someone that you love in this universe and you see their evil version, would you want to bring them back here? Or would you be like, they're evil. There's nothing I can do with them. Can't do anything about their nature.
Or I don't know.
Like, I can change them.
Like, if I could get serious for one second, I'm trying to think, like my friend Sandy Lawson, passed away a few years ago. This is going to bring the whole group down, but the whole thing down, but.
That's all right.
That's all right. So, and she took her life, and it was sad because it was such a shock to me, and it still is. And there's times when I'm like, oh, I wish I could talk to her. I wish I could share. We spent two summers at a theme park working there. And, like, we were best friends for, like, 3 or 4 years. And I still miss her to this day. And I'll even post her every once in a while on Facebook. I also posted George Weinberg Harder, like, our friend George, just because I miss them. And so, like, if suddenly, like, evil George or evil Sandy showed up, I don't know. You know, you might just because it's, like, it's – would you take that little bit of what you know? I mean, maybe. Maybe I would. So I don't – I didn't fault her for taking Emperor Giorgio, to this universe out of some sort of guilt. Like, maybe I would take my friends. Maybe I would be like, yes, I don't care if you're evil. I don't care if you're going to try and kill me. Well, maybe I would. But I guess putting them in charge of my life would be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you write this script? Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
No, you drive my kids to school.
Yeah. Why don't you drive my kids on the 405 at 4:30 in the afternoon? Go ahead. Yeah, it's. I don't know. I mean, what would you do, Kim? Would you like grab the loved one, like,
especially like a parent? Because my father, who died a few years ago, if I found my evil father, that'd be very difficult to say. I'm leaving you here to be evil. I don't know. Would I leap on his back or have him leap on my back? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, question. Certainly, if we watch Mirror Mirror, we know that there is, and even like some of the Deep Space Nine episodes, there are opportunities. They're just basically human beings who have lived a life under sort of a totalitarian regime. You know, they're just kind of like, oh, well, we're like in, you know, it's like this despotic, mm-hmm. you know, regime, and there's redemptive qualities for them if they just realize there's another way. There's nothing outside of the fact that their eyes are sensitive to light.
Yeah, Tilly has that whole discussion with Michael, where suddenly she's a relationship expert. But she's saying how when she was in the mirror universe, she realized how much your environment shapes who you are and all that stuff. And therefore, the way they treat Tyler now will help shape who he becomes and all that.
Oh, well, maybe I missed that. Maybe that there's Tilly solved a lot of evils in this.
You like Tilly. You like Saru and Tilly.
I am neutral on Tilly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I may actually be a little attracted to her. I don't know if I'm not quite sure. If it's just the fact that I'm kind of having a thing for her right now. I mean, we don't tell my wife about this, but I may.
Did you like straight hair blonde Tilly or crazy curly hair Tilly?
I don't know if I notice the difference that much. You know, I just see she is a woman of curves, and I'm okay with that. Like, it's like something I've never really seen in like a Star Trek show, basically, you know. Like,
I do notice that, and I'm like, cool.
Yeah, like she's in those tight pants. I'm like, I'm okay with that. I'm okay. Like, this is the one part of Star Trek I'm actually okay with.
She doesn't have to be a size zero LA actress.
Yes.
Kind of a real funny person.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, she's like if we saw her like walking around the street, she'd be like, oh, there's a normal human being, you know, like in on television, you know, like she looks like, oh, she's out of place. Like, no, everyone else here is out of place. Every other woman, unfortunately, is out of place because of, you know, and I don't know if it's necessarily I go back and forth. Well, you know, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but
do it.
Well, we're late in the episode now. So if you're listening now, baby, you know, you're in for the Mirror Universe, Mike. Which may actually be the good mic. I'm not sure. This may be. I'm such a jackass to the show. It's a weird back and forth where it's like people say, oh, Hollywood demands that these girls are super skinny, but then there are women who also become super skinny to get the roles. You know, it's a little bit of a chicken the egg. I mean, I understand, but it's hard to. I don't know. I women on TV, and I've worked on a lot of television and film, and you know, there are the people who work in these shows are also incredibly driven, and a lot of them have a narcissistic type to them. I mean, they're like, I want to be on TV, I want to be seen, so I'm going to put myself in the best possible light. I'm going to be as thin and as healthy as possible, and guys do the same thing. You know, I mean, I'm not sure
what you're getting at. What are you?
I'm saying, I don't understand. I guess like there's always like, oh, Hollywood puts this impossible standard on women and men and that stuff on TV. And like a bit of my counter argument as an actor is that, well, people who are in this industry also place these impossible standards upon themselves because they want to be on TV, because they are self-conscious to some degree. And I'm talking about men as well. I'm like, William Shatner was like, he saw some footage of himself. He became very concerned and went on a crash diet, you know, but there's portions of people, and not all actors, but some of them, who are just like, I need to be incredibly thin. I need to be, you know, mm-hmm. I'll be honest. Like, I look at myself sometimes like, ooh, I can't be on camera anymore. I better be a writer. You know, Jesus, what the hell happened to me? I became a crazy monster. So, and if you go on the website, you can see this crazy monster. You will die slowly.
And bug your eyes out.
I am the second choice for Garon. Kern is your brother. Robert O'Reilly was on the podcast. We love him. And I've also ruined Kim's cheeks. You can watch Kim massage her cheeks if you watch this show. When she laughs so much, I hurt her cheeks.
Only the fools makes that happen.
Yes, yes, only the fools. So. And we are fools for talking about this episode. I thought it was going to be a quick episode. We've been talking about it for a good like hour now, about 48 minutes longer than I wanted to talk about this. But and now you have your cat, your barf cat.
It's all right.
It's all right. But thank you. Oh, my God. thank you so much for listening. We are coming out of the woods of discovery soon. And we're going to talk about all sorts of fun episodes. And I'm going to be so overjoyed. And you're going to be so overjoyed. Or maybe you're going to hate it because you're like, I want to talk about discovery. And we won't. Maybe we will. Maybe we'll do some roundups on it. But thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
We do.
Kim and I appreciate it. Jason, who cares? He chose pizza over you.
Pizza and Star Wars over you.
Pizza and Star Wars over you, and he's going to have to live with that.
Yeah, for you, colored cubes.
I did notice that the food is starting to change slightly, and they have the little boxes where, like, the little, like, sliding doors where food comes out.
Automat, what is that?
And did you hear a ding when the food was ready? It's like, ding.
Well, I didn't hear that.
It was like, ding, food ready. It was like, oh, all right.
Oh, so quickly before, quick PS. Did you hear something about William Shatner blocking Jason Isaacs on Twitter? A friend of mine just mentioned that to me today.
Oh, I thought that was a while ago. I thought he did that a while ago, and then they kind of worked it out. Yeah, I think that was a while ago. He did. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I think that was a while ago, and then he unblocked him, and everything's cool. I'm turning into a teenager.
Your color. Squeaky voice
teenager. I'm the squeaky voice teenager. He did, and we posted this on the Facebook page that he would be open to having a CGI Captain Kirk.
Jesus. At this Facebook page.
Oh my God, Kim. Where's Pizza Jason? I mean, you know, like at least he kind of, you know, is a guardian of that. But you're just like, oh, I do what I want. You know, I don't care about Star Trek.
Mirror me.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. I'm Mike McCafferty.
I'm Kim Miller.
And I just want to talk about
Star Trek.